Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of DGEN BJJ with me, Irish Mike, and my co-host
Ken.
How are you getting on, Ken?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm sore. I'm wearing my fancy tape again.
Yeah, after all that shit you gave K-Tape, you've rocked up at Minders today.
Yeah, but with, like,
So a couple of people called me out in the gym at that. I was like, yeah, we really showed our ignorance there. Some people have come and said, what have you got against K-Tape preaching the benefits of it? So yeah, as always, guys, disclaimer in advance this time, there is very little knowledge between me and Mike.
I don't think we ever said there was.
We never tried to pretend there was, eh?
And to be honest, they're obviously not listening to the podcast correctly if that's what they've been thinking.
Like, as we said, if you're looking to get something out of this that will benefit your health, your jiu-jitsu, or benefit you in any way, you're listening to the wrong podcast.
This is 100%.
But yeah, your arms taped up?
No, so yeah, I was getting, obviously my back's been fucked this buffo last week.
Yeah, two grumpy old men, both been a bit banged up and injured this week.
Yeah, so I've been getting physio, and my back's actually fantastic today. I had physio again. It's still sore getting up, but as I say, we rolled last night, and it was the first night class I did. I was doing the mornings to try and get a feel for it.
What's that?
Just because it's less rounds.
Shorter classes, hour instead of an hour and a half.
Yeah, so it's only 15 minutes of rolling usually.
So I always find people a bit more like, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, people are a bit more sleepy, a bit more, do the yoga warm-up, it's a bit more of a docile class, ain't it? Like, you don't have the same... People haven't had the soul beaten out of them by work at that point, so like, they haven't got the same level of anger that they want to...
No one's pissed them off yet.
Maybe that's just me.
The coffee hasn't quite hit yet either, you know, so they're just barely waking up. But so I've done 3 rounds Monday, felt a bit fucked. Wednesday morning. I done no-gi. That was all right. A bit stiff, very stiff when I get up after rolling. But not so much trouble in the rolling. I wasn't a stiff rolling, but afterwards you feel a bit fucked, you know.
Yeah.
Wednesday night then, felt fucked kind of going in.
Yeah, so you did the double yesterday. You did the morning and the evening. Coach was like, I don't know what was wrong with you. I don't think he's ever seen you do a morning class without me dragging you along. With me, he was like, I don't know, you had too much cocaine last night or something.
He
turned up to class. I was like, what the fuck's going on, Michael?
And I was like, no, I haven't taken any cocaine. And I'm off alcohol 2 weeks yesterday. So I'm continuing that. Did fasting as well.
We can come back to the injury stuff and how you're recovering there. But yeah, so you Mike's fads in the last 2 weeks. God, somebody get this guy a job, because seriously, he must be fucking bored. He's quit drinking. He's what other things have you taken up? You tried a couple of little
fads. I did a cold plunge on holiday, which is the biggest fad known to man. Like, but that, obviously, look, all these things have benefits, but there are fads on social media.
You've been seeing a chiropractor, which is some sort of pseudoscience, and now he was like, yeah, was it Monday? You were like, lads, I'm going to give fasting a go.
So Sunday night, I kind of was thinking about it. I said, you know what, I'm going to fast someday this week. And I was thinking of fasting Sunday, and I said, no, fuck it. So I had like a Chinese, or no, I had a burger from Five Guys.
That's at about solid, 6 o'clock. Solid, nutritious meal.
It was a shit Sunday meal, to be honest, because we usually have like a roast on a Sunday or something. And be honest, what happened was we were just talking about where will we go most of the day, and we went fucking nowhere. And then it was Sunday, pissed rain, didn't it? Was that the day we thunder showers, I think? So I was just like, ah, fuck the whole lot of it.
Saturday or Sunday, yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, and
it was raining, sure.
Yeah, so then I decided, no, I'm going to fast tomorrow. And my missus actually, she hadn't eaten yet either that day, and she's like, yeah, and she shook my hand, Linda, and called you out. She shook my hand and she said, yeah, we'll do it. So, and I was like, well, you didn't have to get involved in this, but now you are, like.
Yeah.
So, didn't eat. Was just drinking water, really.
So it was a pure water fast?
I had one can of sugar-free Monster.
Okay.
But I don't know, does that count? Because like, I was trying to limit sugar intake, but like, I just needed... Yeah. Most people have coffee, I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, you know? So you dosed yourself up with caffeine, but no sugar.
No, I had one Monster can, like, about half.
They're like the big like beer cans, though, Monsters, aren't they? They're still like that, right?
I never drink it, like, but I just said, I'll try that, and it was actually nice. Shout out to Monster. But, zero sugar one, but and then I just drank water for the rest of the day. But I woke up the next day, then...
I think that still counts. Like you say, if it's a... I don't know, I'm going to... kind of revert back to the opening statement of this podcast. We know fuck all. So guys that might know more about fasting, does having, because I know that people say black coffee doesn't affect, you know, in terms of what it does with the gut microbiome that's maybe benefited by a long-term fasting. They say that black coffee doesn't trigger that. So I feel like a monster is going to have other stuff in it. Yeah, it's going to trick your stomach.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I don't know. I just fucking said I'd do it, and then I was into the next day, and I was like, this is a piece of piss, like, you know, like, it was literally, I wasn't really that hungry, like, and it kind of made food look, made me look at food in a different way, because, like, I am hungry, but, like, I wasn't bothered about eating. So my missus was working, and I picked her up after work at 2 o'clock, and we went shopping. Oh no, sorry, she was getting her hair done. I picked her up after that, and then we went to Tesco, and I just came back, and after a day and a half of fasting, what was the first thing I had?
Skittles.
Close. Half a tin of Pringles.
No.
And what did I eat after that? I had 2 bowls of crunchy nut cornflakes.
Oh, that's
And then I had 3 of them small Snickers, and that's what I ate for the whole day that day.
Nice growing up meals there, mate. It's like, yes, when you send a 6-year-old to the shop with a fiver, and it's what they come back with.
Man, that's what I'm like all my life. The very minute I got old enough to buy my own sweets where no one could give out about me, I've just been eating chocolate and that. Like, all my teeth are fucked, like, from it. But yeah.
Do you feel there was any benefit to the fasting?
Look, I should have eaten a healthier meal at the end of the fast. And I think I should have done 2 days. Because I think one day was so easy that I probably didn't get any benefit out of it. And my mother had done fasting before as well. And she'd done into 3 days. And by the third day, she said she felt fucked. Like, she said she felt great first day. Second day, fantastic. Woke up the third day feeling fine, but then started getting dizzy and every kind of thing. And just said, no, like, third day, I'm eating, like. And I think maybe it takes a day to get it, start flushing things, because I think some of the science, look, I'm fucking quoting some fella now, it's bro science, this is, like, but I think because you're not having something in
all the science, bro science, all the science we're talking about anyway,
your body starts eating away at all, like, bad tissue, bad bacteria or whatever, like, mm-hmm. that's in your body, and that's basically the reason to do it. So, but I never done one, so now I've done a day and a half, maybe a bit more if you want to count, like, sleeping that night before or whatever, you know, I don't fucking know. But yeah, so just said I'd try it. But I was actually hoping, I said, like, give me another fad to do. I was hoping you'd give me something to do today, and nobody said anything. But so I'm still, if you say a fad now, I'll do a fad tomorrow and we'll talk about it next week. If you can think of one, I'll put a post up
Between now and the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have
to think of one. Get a brand
jacket. I should have done this before the podcast.
Yeah, you should give me time to think, mate. Yeah. Drop it on me now. Put me under pressure. But yeah, so injury wise, you're back on the mats, which is good. So
yeah. I'm going to stay back on the mats. Well, fuck this as well. I mean, this injury is not, I know it was me and you rolling and whatever, but it's another thing. Fucking tapping is real. It's a fucking weird one, like, you know, because iron bars especially.
Exactly.
I find
it's like, you don't want to do it, but you got
to. Yeah, you need to learn how to escape, and you need, like, me and you, we have some good rolls, and to be fair, most of your arm bars are kind of clean, like, whereas you have it on the spin, and I know it's gone, and just, like, I think you're on the way down, and you're kind of knowing I'm going to tap, or, you know, but it's happened to me before, this has happened to me before
as well. That was a weird position last night as well, because, like, people that know their jiu-jitsu, it was like a choi bar entry from half guard, so
was my hand a bit that way as well,
yeah. So the torque on your arms a little bit different,
it was like a kimura kind of
because of
back,
how it entered into it, yeah. It's like a kimura, but you whip the wrist round as you bring the leg over the hip.
So, like, I mean, yeah, I screamed like a bitch as well, but I didn't feel any pain then, which you don't because adrenaline's running, and we rolled again and you got me in another bear on the same side, but I just hacked on time on that one. But it's happened to me before, yeah, because before my ADCC gold medal, which I have, Nogi, yeah, went to Bulgaria with Boris Lafleyanikov, might remember I talk about it a bit. I got armbarred a couple of times on the same side as well by Mr. T in our thing. And again, it was my fault. I was fighting the armbar.
Was that last night or in the prep for?
No, that was running up to...
That was in the run-up to ADCC, I was too busy thinking about fads, mate, trying to rack my brain for one that I can get you, once something stupid I can get you to do for the next week, but yeah.
So, it's just for one day, pick for one day, a one day thing for tomorrow, but...
Right.
Yeah, but, so what happened was, you're fighting it, right, but there's a point where you know you're losing the battle, and maybe your hand, you can't tap because you might be using that other hand to fight.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, like, instead of saying tap, I think, oh fuck, this is going, I need to tap. And then I go, I can't tap with my hands. And then I go, tap. And, like, all that happens in, like, split second. The same way as when I tap, it probably goes a little bit of a split second. Like, it's because someone says tap and it takes you a split second to hear it. Took me a little bit longer to think to say it, and ultimately it's my fault. And you know, I mean, because I know you feel, and that's why
When you said earlier, you like my elbow's fucked on.
It is what,
on WhatsApp. I feel like a grade 8 cunt.
Yeah, but it's not your fault. Like, and like responsibility has to be owned from both sides. We're doing a sport where people try to fucking put people unconscious and break limbs. That's what we do, right? We might have fucking nice soft rolls with some people, and it might look fancy and free rolling on some things, and majority of the time most people might get injured, but there are people breaking arms and legs and going unconscious and fucking all that's happening constantly, you know. And it's not you being a bad, no, okay, some gyms might have people like that. I don't know anyone in our gym that purposely are doing these things, yeah, and you definitely don't. So like, and we're good mates as well, because I would call you out, or I would call you cunt, or we wouldn't be recording today, because I probably just have the hump if, yeah, I did feel that, you know. But I think we're long enough that we probably would have a conversation about it, I think.
I'd like to hope that, yeah, you call me out on that straight away, because that sort of behaviour can't go on. Like,
yeah,
you know, we've talked about good and bad training partners, and that's like a number one cardinal sin, trying to hurt your training partner.
Yeah, but sure, we always, like, since Bobby got injured and that and has been out, like, we roll way more and less 6 months than we have fucking ever, like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And, like, we wouldn't keep rolling and pairing up if either of one of us thought we were bad training partners.
Just
or
like, just like a company I put up with a terrible training, yeah, just to have a laugh just with my boys.
But no, the thing is as well, I think we usually have the first role because we're training partners, and
last night was the second one, right?
Yeah,
because we'd done positional, yeah, beforehand.
So we'd done positional and I landed up with one of the lads, and I had a good role with him, and I was like, right, me and Ken are off our first roll. It's not going to be a first roll because me and you always treated a bit warm uppy, and I was going a little bit more than I normally would, because I feel like we're both warmed up properly, and you know my back was at me and I know your back was at you and your elbow, and like I was like, fuck it, you know, we'll just go on. And like, you were like, you all right to go with it? Would you want to go a bit lighter? And I was like, no, let's just fucking go, like, you know. So yeah, it's all on me, like.
Yeah, Bobby was sitting out because he had some sort of stomach flu caused by a copious weekend on the sesh. But
and swimming in a fucking river that he probably had no business in, yeah, ingesting the water.
Yeah, River Thames around Henley, guys. Public service announcement: don't go swimming around there. Don't ask me how I know this information, but do not go swimming around there. And if you do, don't put your head underwater. But yeah, he said he was going to film the role, and then he just didn't because he was chatting to Steve on the side of the mat.
It's not like Bobby to forget to do something after saying that.
Not like Bobby to flake on something, eh? But shame not really, because I knew obviously I'd signed up to Dorset next weekend now, because there was only one guy in my bracket. I'm down there for a holiday, and it's, yeah, like, even if I just get the one scrap on the day, mm-hmm, it's like, you know, it would be nice to, I haven't competed since I did my rib in Brighton. It would be nice to get, you know, get the cobwebs off. And I think it's a nice way to kind of start the holiday, you know, give myself some guilt-free boozing and eating after that, because of the comp. So I thought, you know, after we were both warm yesterday, I was like, yeah, let's have a proper roll. So, yeah, apologies, mate. But yeah, like you say, I'm feeling like a grumpy old man as well. On Monday, I ended up doing somehow my back and my elbow in an armbar escape. I didn't realise, you know, backs are weird, isn't it? Like, you don't realise they're fucked until after training, right?
I think that's everything, because when I got hurt last night, and even though I roared, you were like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah. And you were like, do you want to continue? And I was like, yeah, of course. And then you got me sick now, and I was like, you sure you're all right? And I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go. And like, I'd say it was 4 rounds later, because I only sat out the last one, that when I started to cool down, I was like, no, that's fucked. Do you know, because your adrenaline stops pumping, you're cooling down. And like, we do the rope climb. Like, I was holding onto the rope and I only grabbed like one thing and held it. My arms were shaking.
Yeah, you know, if you've got an issue, if you've got an issue with your elbows, like, yeah, if you've got any tennis or golfer's elbow, that rope climb will bring that back out.
So I was just like, I probably shouldn't have done that either. But it was like, everyone else made an attempt to climb the rope or hung off it. And I was like, coach says, like, just touch the rope if you're not climbing it. And like, I was like, I'm not just touching the fucking rope. No, I might be hanging fucking 4 inches off the fucking ground, like, but I'm still going to fucking do something, like, you know. And I was cutting across.
No, it's fine, mate. I was saying about how I fucked up my own arm and back. Yeah, I Well, mine wasn't like yours. I knew my arm elbow was a bit fucked in the moment I did it, because it was one of those where someone put an armbar on, and I was it like reverse hitchhiker escape, where you hitchhiker, you go out the back, reverse, you kind of like almost jump over him,
yeah,
and pull the arm out that way. But as I was kind of in the transition, the armbar, he was putting it on, and as it just got tighter as I was transitioning out of it. So like by the time I felt like a slight pop. Which is the point, you know, I knew I'd gone past the point I should have tapped. By the point that happened, it was like, you know, like we were saying, it's dynamic, it's in a transition, you almost don't realise it's too late till it's too late.
Yeah.
And then by that point, I'd escaped from the sub, and it was like, well, I'm not going to stop rolling now, am I?
Yeah.
Let's carry it on. But that'll happen when you, whereas the back felt fine for the whole training session, and then I was sat upstairs just chilling out, come off back at the gaff afterwards, and like, yeah, the whole... whatever it is, bottom couple of vertebrae were like, yeah, just agony. But
I don't even know how I did my back, like. I don't even know, like. I know it was at jiu-jitsu.
It's because we're old, bruv. Like, it's, yeah. let's narrow it down.
I actually need someone in the head last night as well. I was running with Alex, and I think he was doing an air bear, and I got around him, and I had to jump over to get out of it, because I think he was going home with platinum or something. I can't remember, but I remember jumping over, and I just remember hitting something. I was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, oh, I definitely hit his head.
Classic. Classic Michael attack, the knee to the head. But yeah, fuck it, man. But yeah, we ain't that old. But you know, jiu-jitsu takes a toll on you, and like, you've done a more physical job.
I've been working on sights and plastering since I'm fucking 16. Like,
you know, I think sitting in a chair, which is bearing in mind what I did for most of the time I was playing poker, and then most of my time in office jobs, I've been. I think that's worse for you than being on site. Worse for you.
No, it'll be not worse for. It's worse. Short term and things, but long term, like, I'll be bent over at 60 and you'll be walking around the place, like.
I don't know. I think they both have really, really bad impact, but I guess we'll see.
I've never seen an old plasterer, like, you know, it's one of the reasons I got over it.
That's for different reasons, mate.
Do you know, but, like, you see people working in offices well up into later age, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You don't see certain trades, like, you wouldn't see people working, and even, you know. Especially right. Nowadays, I guarantee you, this fucking softer generation that's about to place now, there won't even be tradesmen in fucking 30 years' time.
Yeah, what do you think?
Man, the money people are getting paid now, like, now is a great time to be in construction, because, like, the money is crazy. Like, I'm a tick cunt, like, but I like what I do, and I have a passion for it, so I'm good at it. And I worked under my uncle, who fucking made me do everything and pushed me hard, like pushed me how he was pushed. And I think we're all just diluted versions of generations before us. I think they were all harder cunts before us, and like, I'm a softer version of him, and whoever comes after me will be a softer version of me.
I think there's a jiu-jitsu analogy in this. If you look at that,
is there, like, true how it used to be?
Look at the belt lineage, you know. It's just everyone's a softer version of the version before him. I'm sure fucking Dom would love me to hear me say that about him in relation to Hodge. But
I suppose it's not a bad thing to be a softer version, one of the greatest of all times,
yeah,
is it?
But like, and then yeah, we're all much softer versions of,
oh, I'm fucking Jesus Christ, I'm the softest cunt you've ever met, if that's how we're gonna do it.
But yeah, no, that's interesting, man. That's I think that's kind of, without kind of going off on my getting on a bandwagon or anything, whatever the sayings are, on my soapbox. I think that's kind of the society we're in now, though, isn't it? It's just a little bit of a soft.
Could we jump on something? I know it's like out of and we're still riffing, but can we go to the ADCC stuff? Just because we're on that, like, or am I fucking up the wind?
No, I mean,
I'm saying we're on about this woke soft thing.
So yeah, let's just preface it with the fact that obviously, you know, for the people listening, ADCC trials, Europe, first set of trials for ADCC next year are starting in Europe, in Poland, this weekend. Mm. So, you know, we know a few lads. I think Sean White from Farnborough's out there. I know that Matty Mountain, who used to train with us, that trains at Submission Grappling Club in London now, he's gone out there. I think three or four of their lads have gone out.
Yeah.
And then obviously a few other people that I don't know well, but are like people I've rolled with or trained with or trained in the same gym as through my years of travelling about. There's a few people out there hoping to qualify. Obviously there's the there's an open as well, where you've got the beginner, intermediate and novice, where you but like only the actual trials qualify for ADCC. So,
okay.
You know, it's like a weekend of jiu-jitsu. They've got Masters event, and then they've got the Open, and then they've got the actual trials as well. So
what's the difference between the Open and the other one, just for?
So the Open is more like a like an open tournament like we'd register for. You know the one you went out to in Sofia in Bulgaria. Yeah. That was an Open, right? You didn't qualify for anything. You got an ADCC medal because it was like a. It was an open tournament under ADCC rules. So
you have to be invited to the other ones, is it?
You don't have to be invited, but they qualify you for the main event, which you can only be...
Okay.
So the
you have to win one of those to get into one of the bigger ADCC competitions.
Which traditionally happens every 2 years, ADCC. You have a mix of invited and qualified athletes. So you've got the South American trials, the North American trials, European...
English nationals was
like ADCC I think are trying to kind of take on IBJJF as a big organization that runs hundreds of tournaments across the world, so they've got like the nationals you have to be from that country to register, the opens anyone can register, and then the trials qualify you for the is it biannual every 2 years, or does that mean twice in a year, or does it mean both? Who the fuck knows? Revert you back to the beginning of the show.
I think they have it both ways.
Yeah.
Because they're bi.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that. But yeah, every 2 years, the main ADCC event happens, which is where you get the qualifiers and that from these trials. So good luck to everyone who's out there. Obviously, we'll try and do a breakdown of anyone we know that does well. And if you don't do well, then we'll just deny ever knowing you.
And they had the rule change, so which is why
I've gone on. So that's what I was going to segue into. So there's been two massive rule changes, and we'll get into the one you want to talk about in a second. The first one was they changed the weigh-ins, right, from same day to day before.
I think that's class.
But they changed it this week, right, after everyone had registered their weights.
Yeah, they're all doing the...
So no one, you know, people that could have, like, cut down to 66 but registered at 77 because they're every 11 kilos the ADCC limits as well, so it's big gaps, right, they'd have registered for a weight category, and then after the registration was closed and the time to make changes was closed, that's when they announced it would be day before, so people didn't know they had the opportunity to do a hard cut. They all thought they were doing a same day weigh-in, and now they're going to have to do a day before, so there's going to be some people that have obviously managed to rehydrate way more, and I think it gives an unfair advantage to
certain people.
The juiced athletes.
Which is probably 80% of ADCC, let's be honest. Like.
Well, it's a percentage.
And a higher end, we'll say.
So speaking of juice, the other thing they did was they banned trans athletes. And I know that people might say, juice, trans, what? Hang on, what are you saying? What I'm said to you at the time was, I think it's a weird line in the sand to draw, because ADCC actively...
I was going to say
they actively don't test for steroids, but that's kind of an oxymoron, like actively not doing something, but they're very, it's very clear that ADCC all the way up to the top event
are not bothered,
does not test for steroids, right? It's known throughout the sport, so they've obviously, you know, if a woman wants to take testosterone because she had, sorry, I'm going to try and be politically correct.
Look, if you get it wrong, we don't understand this, we're old men.
We've already established we're old men. You can burn it down if you want and kind of watch the world burn, but I'll try and be a little bit PC here. So if a woman who identifies as a man takes testosterone and wants to compete in the male division, that isn't allowed. However, if a woman identifies as a woman and wants to get juiced to the gills on testosterone and then compete against other women, that is allowed. And I know that you're going to talk about the flip side.
So what was the first one again? Sorry.
So a woman,
but
now identifies as a man, and takes testosterone because she identifies as a man, is not allowed to compete against men.
Okay.
Because trans athletes are banned. Mm-hmm. But a woman who identifies as a woman and takes testosterone is allowed to compete against men.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, if you're going to have rules around, you know, people having an unfair hormone advantage.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure, mate.
Before we go any further.
I'm ranting here, riffing, so please cut me off. Talk.
There's loads of women already competing in ADCC taking testosterone.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's the same thing as the men that are taking.
But if one of them suddenly said, I identify as a man and want to compete against the men, they're not allowed. What I'm saying is, I find it funny that you're gonna say, oh, this gives you an unfair hormonal advantage, when you don't care about that in your kind of... athletes that identify as the sex they were assigned at birth or gender they were assigned at birth, whatever the terminology is, bruv. But
if you're a man identifying as a woman, you can go in and fight girls.
No, you can't do that either.
But did we not see that one In the ADCC?
That wasn't in ADCC, that was in Naga. That was in America.
Let's go America.
Yeah, so that that's a good point. So yeah, I'm just saying, like, I thought that was a weird ruling for ADCC. A couple of weird things to do this week, you know, make that announcement, which I understand, obviously, to protect women, but then if you're going to be looking to protect the women, maybe you shouldn't be letting women compete.
Against biological males.
You know, but you shouldn't be letting women who are on steroids compete against women who potentially aren't. If you're going to start making lines and drawing rules around people's kind of hormone levels, then maybe you should be testing everyone and just saying, look, no juice.
I just wish what they do is they just make... We said it before that you just make it's like everything else, right? They should make a transgender men to woman, transgender woman to man, male, female, whatever, kids, blah blah blah, and just make give them their own category. Juice to the tits, we're not going to test you category, juice to the tits, we're not going to test you, we don't care what you take, and you're natty, we're going to take a sample. Now the problem with that is it's not USADA. Blah blah blah, and you can do it. So, I get why they don't because it's not
the main event that happens every 2 years, right? I think this was something that I think you get $5,000 for second place and $10,000 for first place. Mm. Do you know how much like it costs to run a kind of testing year-round testing program, or even to test your athletes that are like, you know, turning up to compete on the day? Like it's very expensive to do properly.
So I think
that's part of the reason jiu-jitsu doesn't do it, because there's fuck all money in it, so it's just turned a blind eye to.
This is the thing, like, I mean, I take steroids, right, and you don't, and like I've been on the record, I don't give a fuck, right, what I do with my body is my business. My jiu-jitsu isn't getting any better, right? It might be a bit stronger or whatever. I'd be doing it now for recovery. But like, fucking, I don't even know where I was going with this, because it's just...
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you bring up the different categories or something, because that was I think what you were referring to was that video that went viral on Reddit.
It was Moore, something Moore is your one's name.
Yeah, I actually can't pronounce her first name, but
she's going. It's doing the rounds on Instagram.
Yeah, it's doing the rounds. Her coach is a fella called, I think it's Smitty Witt.
Yeah, something like that.
On Instagram, and he posts loads of videos. So if you can't, you find it through him.
She was grappling someone, a man that was identifying as a woman, the trans athlete was double the size, probably. Was it like something like 90 kilos?
Yeah.
And your one was like a little butt of a thing, it's like 60 kilos. And did she guillotine?
Yeah, his name is Smitty Witt on Instagram.
She guillotines everyone, though. That's her thing. Like, she's like the Tyler Spangler of female competitors. Like, she just guillotines.
Taylorn Moore is her name.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I've just had to look it up, because I want to stop doing this amateur hour reporting where we're like, yeah, someone's name. Oh, fuck their name. We'll just talk about the story. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
I knew it was something Moore anyway, but... Yeah, so it's just...
So yeah, like, £135 versus £200.
That's massive, like.
At Naga, and then, yeah, she...
£200, 90 kilos, like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, big difference. Yeah. What's 135? That's going to be about 50, right?
It's bantamweight against light heavyweight.
Like. Yeah. But yeah, like, well, guys that are listening, guys and girls, yeah, go out and watch it, because it's actually a really nice technical display of good jiu-jitsu. But what's... You know, it's an absolute division as well, so a £200 woman should be able to compete.
Oh, it was
compete.
Absolute.
Yeah, so, yeah. So a £200 woman should be able to compete against a £135 woman. But the issue that's kind of caught fire is the fact that this is a man that identifies as a woman, and there's been a lot of people on Reddit that have been like, today I learned that jiu-jitsu is a transphobic sport, because obviously there's lots of people that share your opinion and...
I love the way you put my opinion.
And my opinion. I was gonna follow up with that. But yeah, push you first. I don't think that people with biological men should be competing against women. But
no, I think you see too much of it, and especially in the MMA things where you see these women just getting absolutely. Do you know what I've seen? I've seen people saying it's lazy men. Lazy competitive, like some people are doing it, like some people are actually claiming it with no interest or thought of changing their gender or going through a process. It's solely for the purpose of winning a plastic medal, and this is happening, like, and there's people actually getting physically hurt over plastic medals, because some people are like, I don't train, right? I don't put in the work, right? It's fucking known. It's documented, yeah? I'm not going to fucking... Jesus, like, what kind of level would you have to be at to, even in your mind, to go, do you know what? All these woke fucking dickheads.
I don't think anyone. I'm going to go on record now and say, mate, I will say categorically, I don't think biological men should be competing against biological women, regardless of how they identify.
Yeah.
However, I don't believe there is anybody out there that's a biological man that's saying, I'm going to pretend to identify as a woman to win a medal in this category. I don't think there's a single one.
You wouldn't think there'd be one?
There might be one.
I know a lot of people with heavy autism now.
Fuck it. There might be one or two, mate, but I honestly, I think a lot of it is more that, you know, we're in a culture now that's obsessed with gender, which is fucking sounding like, I don't know, one of those other podcasts that, well, I've got no intention of broaching this sort of category, this sort of topic on here, but...
It's dangerous, but like, more, yeah, I do, look, the people I
just,
come against you.
I just think we're in a society that's obsessed with it, and a lot of people are getting this, you know, people that engage on social media regularly and people that... you know, people that use social media regularly and engage with these topics, like it's, and then, you know, the algorithm, all it does is feed you the same thing again and again and again. I think a lot of it's people with, like, I don't want to say brainwashed, but it's like people that we're in a time when people are really, really comfortable. And, you know, I think, you know, it's sometimes it's nice to have a struggle. And this is a way that, you know, some people feel, like, actually, yeah, this is my struggle. You know, I'm fighting for my trans rights, or, you know, people are confused because we're at a time where, you know, traditional gender roles don't really exist anymore because, you know, opportunities are far more equal. And I know I'm going to sound like me sitting here as a white male saying this. It's like, of course he thinks opportunities are equal. But my point is, I think that you go on Reddit, Reddit's a very negative place, mate. I think people are going to think, oh, well, this is all intentional. But I think I think what we're seeing in this video is like an unintentional side effect of the strange world that we live in right now.
Yeah, as I said, I think weaponized autism is a real thing, and we'll leave it there.
Speaking of like competitions and entertainment, obviously, one just final shout out to everyone at Trials this weekend. Good luck, everyone. Did you watch the quintet at the weekend? Did you watch any of it?
Someone sent me the link and I didn't, but I have watched the highlights that are on Instagram.
Nice, so you're aware of it?
No, I actually do want to watch it because we spoke about the last one that was on and I actually did watch a couple of matches off that.
Nice.
Which is weird, like me starting to watch matches in Jiu-Jitsu is just...
Because that's the topic I wanted to broach really, is entertainment, right? You know, we've talked about different rule sets and entertainment and like obviously, you know, ADCC has... given a lot of popularity to no-gi and just grappling, submission grappling in general, which is great. You know, it's brought a lot of eyes to the sport. But I've got to be honest, the quintet this weekend is probably the most engaged I've been watching a grappling event
ever.
I think it's something someone touched on, it's not my original idea, so I'm not going to pretend that it is. Something someone touched on is like, we like to follow teams, right? You know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I never looked at it like that.
In this country, you know, the thing that, you know, unites and separates so many people is football.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's great to have a team to get behind. It gives you a sense of belonging. And I think within quintet, because it's, do you know the rule set?
No. I'll
give you an overview, right? So it's teams of five.
Yeah.
You have a maximum weight limit across the team of 430 kilos.
Yeah.
So you can have, you know, one giant guy and a load of little guys are a good mix and match, and then you pick a running order of five people.
But they don't know the running orders of each, do they?
No. So you announce the running order on the day for the first round, so it's five against five.
Yeah.
If the guys are a similar weight, it's an 8-minute round. If there's a big weight disadvantage, the smaller guy can choose between a 4 or an 8-minute round.
That's cool. How gangster you are, like.
Yeah, and then... So they go, the running orders, the five go against five, the first guy against the first guy. If you submit your opponent,
you stay on.
Yeah, yeah. And the time runs out, there's no points. If the time runs out with no submission, then, you know, you're both eliminated and it goes on to the next. If after the five, there's been no subs, then it goes to there's massive penalty. This one wasn't actually, some of the ones I watched back in 2001 and earlier, there was a lot more penalties, but... there's lots of penalties for stalling normally. So, yeah. You know, if it's naught against naught, the team with the most penalties gets eliminated. And then if that's tied, it's most of time of aggression. So either, I think it's either top time or most submission attempts.
Okay.
But like, and again, I'm going to be parroting stuff I've heard other places here, but I think what makes it really interesting and what made it fun for me was even a kind of what would you consider a board draw in like an IBJJF match, you know, like no subs, or when somebody's just kind of stalling out the match. Like if it's a little guy against a big guy, he can potentially draw that match but eliminate this like kind of top talent for the rest of the team and give him a better chance to win. So it's got like a tactical element. And
who set up that competition?
It was at Sakuraba.
Oh yeah, because I see he has a team on
it. I think it was him and, you know, Josh Barnett. Him and Josh Barnett came up with the idea and then pitched it. Sakuraba's still competing in it at 52 or 53 years old, which is fucking cool.
He's class left, yeah.
Yeah, Team Sakuraba, then you had the Polaris team, which had Owen Libsey and Owen O'Flanagan from... Actually, Owen didn't end up competing, I don't think, in it. He didn't. He ended up getting switched out for Jed Hugh in a couple of weeks beforehand. But then you were meant to have a New Wave team, but they pulled out and were replaced by a B team.
They all had the matching jerseys and
the
everything.
The B team Bulls, they did the Chicago Bulls rip-off.
Did the rip-off, but like... The Bulls is a thing as well, like, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's another play on words.
Cucks and Bulls. I'll let you delve into Reddit to find the... If you don't know about that, Reddit, and we'll open up your eyes to some of those potential jiu-jitsu gossip conspiracy theories. And then, the last team was 10th Planet. So, like, Martinez brothers, etc. But, yeah, it was fucking wicked. I won't really go into a match by match breakdown, mate. I'm shame you haven't.
Do you know what the funny thing is? I used to find jiu-jitsu boring to watch, and now I'm slowly getting into watching bits.
Yeah, it's
like
fine.
I'm probably maturing as a jiu-jitsu player. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, but you're becoming more and more obsessed, like me. I was gonna say, because like I was gonna actually ask you about like different kind of styles and what you find interesting at, or at least entertaining as a spectator. Because I'm like, I found that really good, but then I watched the gi, the heavyweight. Not heavyweight, the absolute GP, like Grand Prix, which had Merigali and a load of the top heavyweights in a couple of weeks ago. And I loved that as well.
Mm.
But I, when I was playing poker, would watch poker. And you can imagine how fucking boring that is, watching guys shuffle their chips and then
poker years ago.
High stakes poker. And I also am the sort of guy that will watch a chess match. So I'm probably not the best guy to say what is entertaining and what isn't. With Quintet compared to like some of the gi grappling that you've watched previously, I wanted to know really if you found that style more entertaining, stands out?
I just find no gi more entertaining anyway.
Do you know any, because this came up last night, do you actually know any gi grapplers that are at the...
Like, I know whatever's on Instagram and whatever I choose, whatever's put in front of me that I'll watch. Like... Merigali and that, and the Polish lad was Wozniak.
Wodzinski, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever, you know.
So the guys that have come, I know Merigali isn't, but that's like, he's like, he kind of straddles both gi and no gi now, and he's such a big name. And obviously, Adam's done a seminar. So you know the gi guys that have come and done seminars at our gym?
No, I only knew him. I didn't even pay any attention to that. It was when he won Worlds there. He wasn't down to win. They didn't think he'd win it.
Fair play.
And I watched the match.
Thought you'd feel like, I know him. Yeah, he was a mouse last two years ago. Yeah.
I know Roger Gracie. Yeah. And,
I thought that's the list we were going to get. It's like,
all these retired men that are just heroes of the sport. No. Look, as I say, I'm probably starting to, as you say, probably get more obsessed now that I think about it. But I kind of... It's like work. When I come home, I mean, I wreck everybody's head about jiu-jitsu so much. I'm like, maybe I just need to stop making all my time up. But it's slowly just creeping into my pores now, and I'm starting to watch it. But I don't watch football. I don't watch any sports, really. Only I watch Ireland rugby and Tipperary and the hurling. And that's...
I was going to say, because obviously I'm not going to lie, mate. Like, I was just saying there, like, I've listed three of my hobbies and I watch them as sports. Yeah.
UFC would be the only other one I watch.
I'm a bit of a weirdo. I don't... generally just watch sports casually. I'll watch sports that I kind of participate in generally as relaxation from participating in those. I've never really been a big fan of football, but I've never really played football played rugby, used to love watching rugby. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is.
No, mine is just like they're contact sports more so. Like UFC as well. I like watching a good bit of. I call it UFC because I don't watch any of the other MMA promotions really. I mean, as I say, if Instagram throws something up, it's kind of like jiu-jitsu, but I'm starting to watch a bit of jiu-jitsu now. Like, I mean, this is probably just a thing for me to get off my phone a bit, because I'm seeing everything through Instagram, you know?
Yeah. So you think no-gi is more entertaining than gi, though, for you, as a spectator sport, or is it just you haven't watched the right gi events?
At the moment. Well, I say, Fionn Davis, I like watching her as well. Find her, I don't know. It's just not because she's a chick or anything. It's just that I don't know. It's just the way she wins, and you can see when she wins that it means the world to her. Like,
I
like that. Like, I like when you can see it on people's faces. Like,
yeah, I really rate her. She's a badass as well. But I was going to say a big thing for me that I've realised this weekend was that the time limits for me make the heavyweight GP. Those were 10-minute matches as well. So the classic black belt matches, I think much longer than that. You know,
the no time limit is a bit.
It's just boring. Some of the longer, like the 30 minutes matches, the hour long matches where it's sub only, like, I think it's just, I mean, if we're talking about the purest version of the sport, then maybe. I still don't know necessarily if I, because what defines a sport for me is the rules. So, like, you know, if we trying to strip away the rules, does that necessarily make the sport more pure? I'll leave that up to you. But
I was watching the match against, I didn't watch the match, I watched the highlights, against Martinez.
Yeah.
And I know he's called the boogeyman. Richie Martinez, his name. Yeah, and I don't know why I know that. I think I watched, what was the one Chael used to do years ago? Underground. Was it Underground?
Submission Underground.
I used to watch that, and he used to win a lot on that.
Yeah.
Was EBI rules, was it?
Yeah, EBI rules, I think, is a bit, for me as well, talking about entertainment, I think that's a bit weird, because you get people that just want to stall out the 15 minutes, because the end of, when
yeah,
it's
the
a
end,
draw,
you either
get, back or spider web.
So like spider web,
like armbar with a figure four sort of thing. So they start with. So you can pick, right? They flip a coin, and then the person who goes first, they flip the coin for that, and the person who can pick, either you start with them on your back, or you start with, like, you know, them with an armbar, underhooked armbar, but you with the grips on your arm, and it's like, I think that leads to people looking to stall for the purpose of getting to.
If
you've got a really good back attack and defense. Back escapes, you're going to be like, right, I'm going to stall it out and get to a position where I start on this guy's back. Whereas
the sharp shutdown.
Yeah.
Just do nothing.
What I liked about Quintet was, like, even the stalling rounds become tense, because it's like, right, fuck, both of these guys are going to get eliminated. And it was cool. If you haven't watched it, the first two rounds, definitely, like the Polaris versus B Team and the Team Sakuraba against 10th Planet are both available for free on YouTube, guys. So I might even try and get Mike to put the links in the bottom and we could funnel some traffic there.
You can
let us know what you think, because I think it's a really cool style of jiu-jitsu and I'd like to see more of it. I like the team element. It gives you like a gang to get behind, and I thought it was cool. Some people I know that don't really watch grappling, even, like, I sent them a link and they watched some of it and was like, yeah, that was fucking rad. So, you know, when you get non-grapplers to watch grappling and actually not just criticise it for being very homoerotic, you've done pretty well, man.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, all the fun is making all the gay jokes, like, I mean, it's half the fun.
That's,
like,
part of it, for sure.
Like, if you're not slagging off your mates and calling them homosexual, like, what are you actually doing, like? Not that it's bad to be homosexual or anything.
Came to jiu-jitsu for self-defence and stayed for the homoerotic humour.
Yeah, and incoming for self-defence.
Speaking of self-defence, actually, I don't think many of us did actually get into jiu-jitsu for self-defence, but obviously there are people that did. And was it you that shared that video? Oh, yeah, I put it up. Did you put it up on a podcast story?
I put it up on the podcast story.
Amazing. Yeah, just for the people that might not have seen it, because obviously it could have expired, just give us a little lowdown of what that was. And
I can't remember his name, but he's actually cool as fuck, and I do follow his page. He's actually been on Andrew Human Z Jitsu's page as well. So
on his pod?
Yeah, he's been on his pod, sorry.
So he's a legit... Because I thought this was a troll, right?
We're on about yoga for BJJ's page, yeah?
Is that who it was? I thought.
Yeah, it was yoga for BJJ.
Oh, it must have been a joke. Yeah, I didn't look at the page. I just saw the reel, mate. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so he goes, jiu-jitsu, you should never try and use jiu-jitsu in the streets. And he's doing it in his class, Nordic accent, like I think he's Swedish or something like that. He sounds like, or Norway or something up around there. And he goes, probably, so he's probably fucking Jamaican now.
That's my fucking I was just about to say, there you go, Michael, off insulting people again. Don't worry, guys. But, no one's still listening.
Yeah, so he goes, if you're ever in a street fight, jiu-jitsu should never be used in a street fight. But if a guy comes at you with a knife in the street, don't try and fight him standing, because he can stab you in the chest and the head. Instead, fall to your back and fight him with his legs. And he goes down and plays guard as your man comes in, just kind of pushes him off with his legs.
He won't be able to stab you in a vulnerable place, like the neck or the torso where your organs are. But like,
so I was like, I'm not working, right? And I stayed up fucking playing Call of Duty till all hours last night. And next thing goes bad, so get up. And I'm like, it's probably 8:30 or something like that. And I'm looking at it, and this thing comes up in front of me. I'm like, ah, lads, this isn't for real. And like, I know the page and I know the guy is legit. I'm like, he is not. It's fucking,
that
what is going
that
on?
Has to be a joke, bro, because like, yeah, I think a few of the lads in the group chat were on the podcast group chat were a little bit like,
the thing is
that video you've,
he doesn't make, he's not that guy, like he's not the guy that makes jokey jiu-jitsu videos. So it's very off. Like if this is a troll, this is the ultimate troll. Like this is like, I've trolled you so hard you're actually thinking this is real, like, but it's like, just lie in the back, a fellow with a knife. So like, imagine if he can pass your guard and you don't know.
Let's just ignore the fact that you've got a load of major arteries and stuff that run through your legs, and if you get stabbed in one of those, you're going to bleed to death pretty damn quick. But
hang on 2 seconds, right? If I just stab you in the foot, right, you're going to go, ow, my foot. You're not going to not grab your foot, and then you're going to get stabbed in the other foot.
I think I'm the retail guy. I didn't even think about getting stabbed through my foot. I was like, oh, I suppose if you've got like some heavy shoes.
You can't
shoes
even run away if you get stabbed in the foot.
And he avoids if he stabs you in both your feet and then passes your guard, you're just triple fucked at that point. Oh,
mate. I mean, you can't even run away once you get stabbed in the foot. I mean, you can, but I imagine it's not half as quick as you could have ran if you've seen this guy coming at you with a knife and you decided to fall on your back. And he never said you should do a break fall either, like, you know.
No, just fall flat on your spine, chuck your legs in the air and everything will be grand, so it will. What is your opinion on martial arts or self-defence, mate? Just as a quick random segue.
Yeah, fucking, yeah, 100%. That's the whole purpose, isn't it? I mean, but it's all against the opponent, isn't it? You don't know who's coming at you, and I mean, just leg it
or... If you had to pick one... You could only pick one.
Or pick one to...
I'm just spitballing, thinking aloud, mate.
Oh, so if I was saying what would be the best martial art for a street fight?
For self-defence?
Muay Thai.
You reckon?
All day.
I reckon.
Someone come at me... Athletics. Like, especially if you're a long cunt like you.
I reckon athletics.
Because, like, you can kick so much farther than you can punch. Yeah. And someone that doesn't know about kicking, man... They're getting knocked. You're actually probably going to kill someone because they're going to you're going to be two bangs. You hitting them and them hitting the concrete.
I've got funny story about back when we were kids in Bristol, one of my mates got in a fight with this fella at a bar and like a bit drunk, like puts his hands up, goes in like to throw a couple of punches, and before he's got into range, this guy's just snap kicked him in the face. And he's like, my mate can handle himself, to be fair. He's been in plenty of scraps. He's boxed a bit.
Yeah.
Like, takes it. The guy kind of just adjusts his range. Again, my mate's kind of ducking and weaving, trying to like cut an angle to come in and throw a shot. Snap kick in the face again. I think this same
is that like a front kick or is it a side kick?
Just straight up the middle. Flashes his foot straight up the middle. We've got like a pair of like winkle picker pointy shoes, like some flash cunt. And I think this same pattern happens maybe 4 or 5 times. And at that point, my mate just shakes his head and fucking walks off.
Better off, mate.
Yeah, but. I think athletics will get you a lot further in self-defence than martial arts ever will. I think martial arts just has the chance to get you...
You need to be doing striking.
A lifelong martial artist, I love martial arts, I love training martial arts, but I don't think I've ever entered into it thinking this is going to be great for self-defence. But boxing, it was like, right, if I get into a tear up at a pub, at least I can throw a punch now.
I think that's a big thing. Like, I don't know how to throw a punch. I think knowing where to put your weight and how to turn your hand over and stuff for connection, like, is a thing. I'm saying if you're going to have a scrap, like, but not think, like as if...
Oh, you mean if it's unavoidable?
Yeah. I'm saying for self-defense, this is what it becomes unavoidable.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm not going to want to know how to do jiu-jitsu. I'm going to want to know where to hit you and how hard and how to turn my weight. But, like, if you have them legs, like, I don't even think kickboxing, because when you've Muay Thai, you have the elbows and the knees. Lads, fell in a flying knee you into the face. You're going to be thinking, what the fuck is going on here? And the next thing, he's going to hit you with a fucking left or right hand, and then it's good night, Irene.
Let's be honest, they've already done the litmus test, haven't they? It was UFC.
Yeah.
You know, and gradually over time, they've combined all the kind of effective elements of the key martial arts into one style that is modern mixed martial arts. I suppose if you're doing something for pure self-defense purposes, that's probably the one to do.
Yeah.
Get good at MMA, and then, you know, think you can handle yourself better than you can and get your head caved in the pub anyway. I mean, I think thinking you can handle yourself sometimes, especially if you're young, can do more damage than...
I'll be honest with you, like, I don't think the level of jiu-jitsu I have is going to save me in a street fight.
Bruv, I'm a guard puller. I'm fucked.
No, but like, I don't know. It's fucking, it's so weird, like, because I would never think of doing, I'd actually probably try and throw hands. Because, I've never been in a street fight in my life. I've had a couple of, one or two in a nightclub or what, but nothing to be fucking writing home about. But like, I just walk away. I'm that age as well where I just walk away from things. I don't want, if I can talk someone down, exactly. I've always done it. Like I've been so little, like I think in my whole life I've been in two proper fights.
So guys, for self-defense, you're better off studying like critical thinking or negotiation, philosophy and athletics.
Yeah, and Muay Thai. Because if they don't like what you're saying, just head kick them.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know. I'm on the fence with that. When it comes to self-defense, I like I say, you know, I love jiu-jitsu, but most modern sport jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I don't know if
isn't going like, to be too useful in a combat situation.
If you did double leg someone on the street and fucking they smacked their back off the concrete, like I tell you one thing, that would be some rude awakening. Unfortunately, I only do single legs. I haven't really honed my whole double leg that I'd be trying it. Like you reach for someone's, like I'm going to be lazy and reach for his knee, and I'm going to get a knee straight into the puss. Like, it's just not going to go well unless I can fucking, is that a uchimata? Is it? Is that when you put this leg in and you kick it up and you?
What
drop
did you
him?
Call me? Yeah, that's big fucking Japanese round here, mate.
I don't know what the English for it is, but
don't know either.
To take that, do you know the takedown where you get the overhook and then you fucking kick them under?
Yeah.
And then you land on the ground.
I'm not going to pretend I know the right Japanese. I normally make up some Japanese sort of names that sound like a kind of English fella you'd meet down the pub. I'm like, oh, old Harry Moshi. Yeah, I know him. Just to wind up the guys that are really into all the judo pronunciations and stuff. But yeah, no, it's interesting. Knifey spoony though, I'm definitely not pulling guard in that situation.
That's what my thing was, like, you just play him in a game of knifey spoony.
I can't believe that wasn't a correct answer.
Blue Eyes Ben actually picked it as well. He was one of the people that picked
it. Go on, mate. I fucking love it. So you've played knifey spoony before, mate.
Yeah, I put that story up after. And you actually put it in the chat while I was cutting it out of YouTube to put it on the fucking story. Amazing. Like, we're on the same wave.
We're the same type of retarded, mate.
Our periods have sunken together, yeah. Because men can have periods now.
They can.
In this walk.
They can't compete in ADCC as women, though. Like, no. Doesn't matter how much you're bleeding. Right. On that note, we've finally done the fucking giveaway, Sam.
Yeah, me being unemployed, just so much work gets done. I actually do so much work. I have a job coming up, so I'm not going to comment what I was going to say. But I'm starting a new job Monday, so I said, fuck it, I might as well do it. And I'll show you afterwards. I've recorded about 60 fucking videos.
Of yourself?
Yeah, trying to say what I wanted to say. My God.
Well, so guys, when you do go back and look at the video, so it's on the Instagram page, which is DJN_pod_BJJ. Or DJN_BJJ_pod.
Yeah.
You can tell I use it frequently. So when you go on there and watch the video on how to enter the comp, get the free, it's a full set, you know, rash guard and shorts. Like, bearing in mind, when you watch this was Michael's sixth attempt. This wasn't his first attempt.
No, it was my 26th attempt. I'll show you the videos later.
Yeah, okay. So when you look at it, think how bad the other attempts must have been if this is the final product. But yeah, follow the instructions, guys. We'll do the draw on Thursday morning next week, and
we'll announce the winner on this, and then we'll make a post about it.
Announce the winner on next week's show. Mm. And then, yeah, which will air next Friday. So,
I mean, even why don't you just enter just to get a free rash guard?
It's free shit, guys. Come on.
I mean, you're not buying anything, giving us money, but we're giving you free shit.
Yeah, we've been asking for you to kind of support us for a while, but now we're the ones supporting you.
So if you do be looking at X Marshall's website to try and see which one it is, what did I say it was called? Comic.
You've put it in. There's photos of it and everything. It looks like, you know the old school Batmans with Adam West when there'd be a fight scene and it would be like he'd hit it and the whole screen would come up with kablow, pow. It's like a black and green design with those sort of things over it. So, yeah.
But, yeah, if you're going in there and you're having a look and you see something you like, use code DGEN10 for 10% off.
Yeah, ex-Marshall guys. The most longest running brand association, but with that in mind, one of our newer and slightly closer to home with Mouse, our training partner, Salt and Storm, as I mentioned last week, they've got a new pre-release of the Tiger Fight rash guard. If that's not your thing and you want to see a man biting another man's neck, the Dante rash guard is still up for grabs in some sizes, I believe, so go check out their
they're all limited runs as well, I think, so once they're done I think they won't be
He's not reprinting any of it. So it's
all exclusive. Like,
if you like it, get in on the pre-order. Also, follow him on Instagram because he shares like more of the kind of medieval art, the classical medieval classical art that he
probably will change into rash guards. Yeah,
that inspires his kind of MO, and like, there's some cool shit there actually. Mm. Like originally, like, I'm not going to lie, bro.
The last one he done today. It's like I don't know. It's the Saint Michael on the top. It looks something like that because he has the spear going down, which is. This whole St. Michael thing is stopping people coming up from hell. And then there's the devil underneath, reflected. And I actually think that's cool. Yeah. I actually like that one.
If there's something that I've been like, yeah, that's some cool shit. So yeah, look, check out his shit. And now we've got a new announcement as well, haven't we? We've got a third brand association.
Yeah.
New on the scene.
So get yourself a Salt and Storm rash guard and then head over to Flow State BJJ and get yourself a nice pair of shorts. They've got 20% off. If you use code DGENPOD at the checkout, but yeah, I think they've four shorts. I was thinking it wasn't four, but there's four at the moment. There's a tiger stripe one that's a kind of a bluey kind of a color, and there's another one with mushrooms on it, which I thought it'd be your kind of deal. Like, okay. I know you probably haven't checked them out yet because I only told you today that
I've got a penchant for mushrooms, so yeah, maybe they can send us some of them to try out the gear. But yeah, so yeah, DGEN 10 at X Marshall, you get 10% off. And what is it, DGEN underscore pod?
No, just DGEN pod, all one word.
DGEN pod is one word, get 20% off of Flow State.
Yeah, and they're UK company as well, so it's not like X Marshall where you're coming from the States and stuff. So, and I think they're reasonably priced shorts, and for the 20% off, from what I've seen, like... You know, I'd nearly buy a pair, but I have so many fucking...
And if you do an order through Salt and Storm, let them know where you heard about us here. So that's like, you know, we've got a nice range there. You know, X Marshall go with some of the more kind of like what you'd expect to see on the mat. You know, those loud, vibrant designs. Salt and Storm's something small batch, very unique. And Flow State's like a new brand doing their own thing.
Yeah, they're new, and he's sound geezer, like, you know, he hit us up and he said, look, I'm not planning on being on every space, but like, you know, I listened to podcasts and I thought I'd hit you up, and like, we're more than willing to do business with anyone, you know, and promote
based
everyone
as well, right?
Yeah, UK based, yeah,
exactly. So you know, you've got X Marshall, international brand, Salt and Storm, small batch, Flow State, up and coming, another UK brand. Check them all out, you know, check them all out and see what fits your vibe, because like we keep saying, jiu-jitsu is full of weird and wonderful people. You know, we're not all kind of cut from the same cloth, so you know, between those three brands there should be something that fits your kind of your style, and if not, well, I don't know,
we're trying our best, like,
we're trying our best, guys, come on.
Yeah, like, get fucking sure your all to hit us up and we'll give you fucking 10% off that, like, you know what I mean, just send us to the right people, you know.
Exactly that. Is there anything you wanted to wrap up on, Mark?
Nah, man. No, all good. Out of the blue, Joseph is going to be on next week.
Is that actually happening?
Confirmed, yeah.
I wasn't going to mention it, so in case we get let down again. But there was something else, actually. Like, despite his ogre-like exterior, it turns out our friend Adam Squishy Brown is actually quite a sensitive soul, and took some
I don't agree in going in on him again on every podcast.
I'm not going in on him again. He took some offence to me calling him an average jiu-jitsu coach, so I just wanted to write the... I actually genuinely didn't mean that as an insult. If you think about everybody that coaches jiu-jitsu across the world, most of them being black belts, to be called an average coach as a brown belt is actually a pretty nice compliment, and he's helped me loads with, personally, with my jiu-jitsu, like, especially the Thursday morning classes when I've been slacking off of work and I've just stayed down there asking him questions and techniques. So yeah, sorry mate, didn't mean to upset you, love you really. And yeah, next week we might have Joseph Mogron. I'm not gonna hold my breath about it a second time because I
apparently he's done what he's traveling now, and he has time to give up.
It's got time for the little people now.
People, yeah,
so. Sweet. Well, once bitten, twice shy. Let's maybe see if Joseph Mogg can make a fan out of me. Tune in next week to find out, guys. If where do they reach us? Sorry, yes, guys. Mark.
So DJ. Yeah. So DJ and BJJ pod on everything. Look, there's the WhatsApp community. There's a link tree in the WhatsApp to all you. If you're on Apple Music instead of Spotify, I always put up the Spotify link because it's 80% of what people listen to us through. But yeah, share us around to your friends as well. Like, you know, I mean, it's not, some people that mightn't even be into jiu-jitsu might be interested in listening, you know. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe
if they can't sleep, they can at least listen to our voices before bed, and it'll put them off into a slumber.
I think my voice would just drive any cunt mad to a phone and be gone out the window.
I don't know, there's been lots of compliments, mate. You got lots of admirers out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, like, comment, subscribe, do all that good shit, engage, tell us what you think of us, and as always, play it to your nan.
See ya.
Much love.